Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Steve Kaplan is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is a good friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's a best-selling author of some very important books, Bag the Elephant, How to Win and Keep Big Customers. We launched that book on the show. Also, Be the Elephant. We also launched that book on the show, and he's got a new book out that he's here to talk to us about. We're going to talk about how to sell your business for the most, for the max is what the book title is. And Steve is an entrepreneur of his own in his own right. He's been where you and I are, running a small business and grew it into a larger business. And now he's back to running another small business again. He's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
There's just something cool about being a small business owner, isn't it?
The best.
Even in 2009, with all the challenges, I wouldn't rather be doing something else.
I tell you, there's more safety in that even than being one of these, part of a huge business that, all of a sudden you get a pink slip because you're shutting down, You have a little more control, I think.
A little more control, but all the responsibility.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, if you don't like stress, you don't need to become a small business owner, do you?
Well, I think you got some stress in everything you do, but at least for me, being a small business owner, it's something I love and something I do every day. So, I'd be stressful without it, I think.
So let's talk about selling a business and buying a business. Is this a good time to do either one of those?
It's interesting. I'm clearly. Common sense would tell us that the best time is when a lot of factors come together. There's the economy is booming, stock prices are trading at high, earnings per share, and companies can utilize stock in the purchase and get a better value for that. And so there is that time. However, it is also more than possible to sell a business right now. Companies do that all the time. Companies are looking at buying companies. We hear in the news, a lot of the tragedy the companies doing not so well. What you don't hear about is the companies that are doing good, or the companies that are holding their own, or the companies that are using this time, as many of them are, to grow and position themselves for the turnaround in a year or so. So yeah, there's plenty of opportunity to sell right now.
Well, for sure, there's a time. It's now is a good time to look in many ways. Is a good time looking to buying a business. I don't know how good a time it is to sell your business because of the valuations. But let's talk about some of the things that you go through in your book. Talk to us about some of the key elements to selling a business. Should you prefer to focus on selling the business rather than buying the business? Which way do you prefer to go?
Well, I think selling the business, is probably more critical for a lot of the listeners out there, because buying business, clearly you're going to look for discount and mm-hmm. If you're going to do that, I got news for you. That doesn't change in a booming
right.
market. I've been part of over 100 acquisitions, and we always look to do that.
You always want to buy low and sell high, right?
Always. So, really, in those times, from the buying perspective, you may have a better opportunity to buy now. However, the thing is that when you are buying, you have to do more diligence right now, because you have to make sure you're buying something that's sound, something that can utilize mm-hmm. and integrate into your business. Or even if it's a standalone, you have to do that, so you have to have the right payment structure, et cetera. But in selling, which I think, again, is more applicable, many business owners kind of, unfortunately, are looking at selling their business as a way of mm-hmm. getting out of trouble. They may have to shut the doors down, unfortunately, or
right.
let people off. And they have, us as business owners, we're all the same. We care about our employees, are our family. We don't
right.
want to do that. And so it's a way, it's just a way to do that well, and
so,
it's a way of getting out.
So let's say we had somebody that a year ago or maybe a little more than a year ago, their plan was to keep growing their business, and they were going to exit in 2009. Has their strategy changed now, probably?
Well, yeah, in terms of, well, their feel, I mean, it depends on the situation. I mean, if they're looking at Maxon's having the most number of buyers interested, setting up, you know, putting an auction into place, getting, you know, multiple parties bidding on their entity, yeah, they're not as good today as they were, no way. But if, you know, if their exit was because, you know, they're tired of the business, or the business is peaking, or their industry is, you know, it's looking at globalizing perhaps, and they're not ready. I mean, many different factors. Then I still would suggest going ahead. Companies are buying. There are companies buying.
Right. And so one of the things that you got to have if you're going to buy a business is you got to have capital. And when we come back, I'm going to get you to help us understand how to maximize the capital opportunities to selling a business and helping the person buy it, because you may have to do that. And we'll do that after these messages. It's 20 till. Steve Kaplan is our guest. Stay with us. Little Robert Cray taking us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it, for checking it out, for taking advantage of all the resources that we've made available to you there. We built it just for you, made it where there's no barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. You got 5 seconds? You got 15 minutes? We got something that'll help you anywhere in between. You can read, you can listen. Check out my blog. Check out my knowledge base. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which you can find there on the site, and even see a sample of what we're going to be sending you, which we do every Sunday afternoon by email. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me at Jim Blassingame, all one word, at Jim Blassingame, or twitter.com/Jim Blassingame. Steve Kaplan is with us. He's our good friend and the author of a number of best-selling books, and his new book is called Sell Your Business for the Max. And we're launching it on the show, aren't we, Steve?
We sure are.
Brand spanking new, and I love the new style, the new format. It's a ring binder kind of format that makes this thing open up, so it actually makes it a lot easier to use. You've really kind of got like a workbook, haven't you?
Yeah, we really focused on making this interactive and making it so it's really helpful to the person's, you know, person selling their business, and they can actually go through the steps and really maximize really the value of the book.
So check it out, folks, and give us the website and tell us where the new book's available, Steve.
Sure. Well, the new book should be available by now everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, you know, pretty much anywhere. Also, Steve Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, live.com.
KaplanLive.com?
Yeah, SteveKaplanLive.com.
Okay, SteveKaplanLive.com. Okay, so check that out, folks. And you can find his books. You can find all your books there, can't they?
Yeah, they could, sure.
Now, what do you say in your book about capitalization? Because of course, this book's going to be a good book for this year, next year, year after that. But today, Steve, we got a capital acquisition issue going on right there.
Sure.
And as you know, when a business is being bought, somebody's selling a business, somebody's got to come up with the capital. Otherwise, it's not an exit strategy. You're just conveying the ownership. So somebody's got to come up with the capital. Either the owner shares the financing, or the bank comes up with the money, or investors come up with the money. What's the story out there today?
Or a little of all of them. I think what's happening, and where I talk to business owners all the time, is to be flexible in the payment structure. That helps out a buyer immensely. If you are flexible, you can actually even earn more money on your sale than you could if you took outright cash. And to explain what I mean by that, a couple kind of structures. One of them we probably have heard of is an earnout, where you
right.
get some money up front, and then based on performance, you get a multiple of, say, earnings, you know, 4, 5, 8, 12, whatever you negotiate, off your earnings over the next several years. And if you do that, if you do an earnout structure, you ought to be able to negotiate it to the high end of the range that your company is valued. The other thing that some companies are doing, which is kind of interesting, is they're taking the money in there and they're basically almost self-financing part of the purchase by not making it an earn-out, but taking the money over time and getting a guarantee from the buyer, be it personal or a bank. You know, if big companies still are able to get bank credit, you know, smaller companies, you need, you know, personal guarantees. And taking it over a period of, say, 5 years, even without an earn-out, helps them with short-term cash flow needs.
It's like a balloon kind of thing, because you're recognizing, and this is a way of maximizing the price, isn't it? You're recognizing that the buyer may have some challenges, not their own fault, in coming up with a capital. So you're saying, okay, let's make the transaction happen. You come in and start running the company, or maybe joining me in running the company till we can get down the road a ways, till we can see the capital opportunities open up. And then at that point in time, then we'll do a balloon kind of thing. And that's the way you can get the price that you thought you would get 2 years ago. But all you got to do is blend in a little deferred gratification.
Yeah, and you could even get, again, the higher end of that range. And the other thing that it does for a lot of business owners, once they sell the business, their employees are going over, and they may even be going. But what that also does is it frees up a little bit of additional capital for your acquisition a company to do something else, perhaps, that might that may blend or complement exactly what you do and enable you to facilitate your growth, so that 5, 10, 15 years from now, your employees are part of and yourself, if you choose to stay, are part of a more robust, deeper organization.
And one of the things I found, Steve, is that when banks see the seller and the buyer still putting significant skin in the game, it makes a banker a little more comfortable about getting involved, doesn't it?
All the difference in the world. Yeah, absolutely. For example, like in the acquisitions that we did, I can't remember actually ever doing one where we actually had the business owner just walk away that day on close. You know, so that's
they're the brain trust. You don't want them to leave, do you?
Yeah. No, you don't want them to be. You want them to be incentivized, and the proper organization. However, the best thing, there's several things you need to do to maximize on your sale price. But another one of them is to make sure, as a business owner, that you're not so tied into the business. I mean, a lot of businesses I had, I would sell 80% of the revenue, and then I would run the business at night, and I was so immersed in the business that it was a risk for someone to buy that business until I could step away from it a little bit, until I can, you know, get some other people and delegate some more responsibility. Because if something happened to me, or if I just went off the reservation after I cashed out here, they were in trouble. So that's another thing I advise everyone to do. It's just, there's many things, but that's one of the things. You can make yourself less important.
Well, and also, when we come back after these messages, we're going to talk a little bit about how to maintain control during this earnout time, which is important. And we're also going to, I'm going to wheedle a couple of mistakes, the big mistakes that people make that Steve knows about when they do these deals, so you don't make those deals. And by the way, they're in the book. And the book is called Sell Your Business for the Max. Steve's book is new one. Stay with us. Here's that crazy, mad Englishman, Joe Cocker, bringing us back. He's still rocking after all these years. he makes me smile. I like Joe Cocker. Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the SmallBusinessAdvocate.com. Having a great time. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Steve Kaplan, the author of the new book, Sell Your Business for the Max. It's a new book, folks, and it's kind of a new format. It's a workbook format, but it's built like a book, but it opens up like a workbook. And it just, Steve, I think you're onto something here with this thing.
Yeah, we like it. It's kind of different than what's out there, but but it's great. We're really excited about it.
I think people will use it like this. I think it'll be more. It'll be something they'll use more. They won't just read it and put it back in their bookshelf. I think they'll leave it on the desk and open it up more. Let's talk about we talked about earnouts and all that. Whenever people contemplate selling their business but not getting all their money, and having to stay in the business, having to give back paper and turn their baby over to somebody else, they automatically worry about losing control. And with the earnout goes the stock. As the earnout progresses, so does the ownership, right?
Yeah, well, there could be many different ways. Typically, literally, mostly the ownership goes right away in terms of like the stock or et cetera. But what, as a business owner, what you should do is, just as you suggested, Jim, it's so such an important point, is you got to keep control, especially if you're getting an earnout. You don't want to turn that over to somebody else. And it's not necessary that they're going to purposely submarine the business to not pay you, but they're not going to, they don't know the business like you do.
Right.
So one change would be, you know, if you're looking at an exit, you know, today, and getting a rate out, you know, maybe you put that on hold for a couple, 3 years. So that you do can maintain control. And a way to do that is through your employment agreement.
Right.
You know, you get it so that you have proper terms, and you make it so that the penalty for just terminating, you know, that they can't terminate you without, like, you know, without just cause, like theft or...
But, you know, Steve, I'll tell you, I'm going to disagree a little bit. If you, depending on how much money you come up with, if I'm having to do most of the paper myself, you're not getting all the stock day one. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to sell you for a reasonable amount. I'm going to sell you, you know, 25-49%, but something less than half. Because until I get made pretty darn close to whole, I'm not releasing all the stock.
You can do that if the acquisition is, say, a smaller or mid-sized company. If you're with a publicly traded company, they can't do that.
Oh, no, no. I understand the bigger deals, you can't do that. But I think...
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if a bigger company buys a small company...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, well, that's... But those guys got more critical mass. I'm talking about when one small business owner buys another small business owner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, then all bets are off. And just in terms of structure, yeah, you can... Very right. Yeah, then you just sell pieces over time.
But if you sell your business to a larger company where they come in and you're a significant strategic acquisition for them, that you're right about that. And then you got contracts. And then if they don't perform, you got somebody you can sue.
Right, absolutely. And the thing, too, is about that with a smaller business or a medium business buying another smaller or medium business, you know, you have a couple different things. You know, you can structure it where you have voting rights versus equity rights.
Right.
You know, you could take a look at that. And the other thing to be mindful of, Jim, with this, of course, is once you sell 50.1%, if there's no adjustment in voting or anything like that, in effect, you have sold your company.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
So
once you go over half, you've lost control. Even if you've got the board stacked in your favor, I've seen boards get unstacked. And you have too.
Right.
Let's talk about a couple of mistakes that people make. What are a couple? And you talk about several in your book, which I recommend very much to you. What are some mistakes? Give us a couple that we can do between now and the end of the hour.
Well, I think some of the times we make a mistake is when we start getting off on that tangent of selling your business, and you start some dialogue with a company, and you, and quite frankly, you just neglect your own business. You take your eye off the ball. That happens so often; it's scary. And you have to understand that most acquisitions, doesn't matter in good times or bad, most acquisitions that start do not close. So
right.
You have to understand the chance.
You got to kiss a lot of toes before you get your princess, don't you?
Yeah, well, sometimes, yeah, a lot of times. Now, you may have been courted by a company over the years, and, you know, you may know them well, and that will increase the odds, but really, when push comes to shove, and you so many negotiation points, I was always kind of devil's advocate about this, and I would tell myself, and I can't do it right now. There's even times I'd walked away with one of my first big sales, and I just told the guys, you know, it was a company, Snyder Communications, and Dan Snyder owns the Redskins now, and I just had to walk away from it because I wasn't, you know, it was during the selling cycle, and I knew if I walked away, it would hurt me, and it would hurt me on that multiple and on the earnout and going forward. So I just had to say no, and I could be re-looped in about 5 months later, and I was better for it. They actually respected the fact that I was true to the business.
You'll never get your best deal until you're prepared to walk away from it. That's no question about it. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks. Had a great time, Jim. Take care.
Steve Kaplan, ladies and gentlemen. StevekaplanLive.com. The book is Sell Your Business for the Max. It's now in bookstores. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.